Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, Text Number 37, King Bhritu's 100 Horse Sacrifices. Avam paritra tunihavati no. Dharmam jananam samayanurupam.
Bhavan,
Your Majesty,
Paritratum,
just to deliver,
Iha,
in this world,
Avatirna,
incarnated,
Dharmam,
religious system,
Jananam,
of the people in general,
Samaya anurupa,
according to the time and circumstances. By the misdeeds of King Vena,
Avalukta,
almost vanished.
Adya,
at the present moment.
Dehata,
from the body.
Vishnu, our Lord Vishnu.
Kala,
part of a plenary portion.
Asi,
you are.
Vanya,
O son of King Vena.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O King Prithu, son of Vena, you are the part and parcel expansion of Lord Vishnu due to the mischievous activities of King Vena. Religious principles were almost lost. At that opportune moment, you descended as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, for the protection of religious principles, you have appeared from the body of King Vena. Report. The way in which Lord Vishnu kills the demons and protects the faithful is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 4:8. Parichaya sagunam vinashaya shudushkitam dharma samstam panartaya sammami yuge yuge. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. In two hands, Lord Vishnu always carries a club and a chakra to kill demons. In his other two hands, he holds a conch shell and a lotus to give protection to his devotees. When his incarnation is present on this planet or in this universe, the Lord kills the demons and protects his devotees simultaneously. Sometimes Lord Vishnu appears in his person as Lord Krishna or Lord Rama. All of these appearances are mentioned in the Shastras. Sometimes he appears as a Shaktivesha avatar like Lord Buddha. As explained before, the Shaktivesha avatars are incarnations of Vishnu's power invested in a living entity. Living entities are also part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, but they are not as powerful. Therefore, when a living entity descends as an incarnation of Vishnu, he is especially empowered by the Lord. When King Prithu is described as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, it should be understood that he is a Shaktivesha avatar, part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, and is especially empowered by him. Any living being acting as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu is thus empowered by Lord Vishnu to preach the bhakti cult. Such a person can act like Lord Vishnu and defeat demons by arguments and preach the bhakti cult exactly according to the principles of Shastra. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita, whenever we find someone extraordinary preaching the Bhakti code, we should know that he is especially empowered by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. As confirmed Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya 7.11, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tara Pravartan. One cannot explain the glories of the holy name of the Lord without being specifically empowered by him. If one criticizes or finds fault with such an empowered personality, one is considered an offender against Lord Vishnu and is punishable. Even though such offenders may dress as Vaishnavas with false tilak and mala, they are never forgiven by the Lord if they offend a pure Vaishnava. There are many instances of this in the Shastras. Mukam karati vachadam bhagam lambari kirinya kripam vande sri guru sutanam om agyana tivarandasya agyanam shashakaya chakshuritam yana tasmai shri gurave. So here it's just Prabhupada is talking about blaspheming devotees. We see here also an example of Indra, and Indra is envious. Out of envy, devotees may blaspheme other devotees. They see he's doing so nicely, and I cannot do like that, so let me try to bring him down. And obviously in the purport, Prabhupada is referring to himself as a preacher, being able to defeat the demons by arguments, which is what Prabhupada did. So in order to actually understand Bhagavatam and to make progress, we have to be nirmat saranam, beginning of Bhagavatam. People who are non-envious, they can understand Bhagavatam, they can make spiritual progress. They don't make a distinction, this is mine, this is yours, but they simply engage in devotional service of the Lord. And they can preach. They can preach. They want to make others devotees, even their enemies. They make devotees. And we have example. Somebody was telling me the other day they were going on book distribution. And I can't remember which city it was. Oh, maybe it was you. Yeah, is it Sydney or? Yeah. Huh?
Amsterdam.
Okay. And then they were distributing, the devotees would give the magazine to one man and he would just rip it up every time a devotee would give him a magazine. And so then some years later she went back and she forgot about this man, but then she met him and gave him a magazine and he said, "Do you remember me?" And he gave a donation and took the magazine. So, when in the early days, Prabhupada, they complained, the devotees complained to Prabhupada, the devotees, these people, we distribute a book and then they throw it in the garbage. So Prabhupada asked the devotee, "So did they touch the book?" And he said, "Yes." And so they'll get benefit. And so that was very lenient, Srila Prabhupada, with book distribution. So envious. Envious in this world. It's a world of jealousy, a world of envy. But this movement is meant for one who is no longer envious or jealous. By becoming free from envy and jealousy, you can become a perfect person. And so, Prabhupada made a statement in a lecture of that those who are envious are in this material world. And those who are not envious are in the spiritual world. So if you want to be in the spiritual world, then don't be envious. And you can be in the spiritual world. So no doubt, you can test yourselves of your advancement. If you are envious, means you're still in the material world. If you're not envious, then you're in the spiritual world. So some philosophers think, why should Krishna be God? I am God. I am also God. So this is the beginning of material life, to be envious of Krishna. We want to enjoy. We want to enjoy like Krishna, so come to this world. Begins from Krishna. Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Pritya Mamekam Sharanam Vaja. Surrender to me. We think, why should I surrender to Krishna? If you tell somebody on the street, surrender to Krishna, why? Why should I surrender to Krishna? Who is he? Well, I'm the same, everyone is equal. And that's how the Buddhas, the non-devotee, foolish people, they think that Krishna is one of us. He came here, okay, he must be in the prison too. If the governor comes to the prison, doesn't mean he's in the jail like you. So Krishna says in Gita, there's no one superior to me. But if someone hears that, they think, why is Krishna, why is he saying like that? No one's superior to me. He can't say that. He's Krishna, he's God. So cheaters come and they manufacture their own way of material realization, just like Indra was manufacturing so many different irreligious practices. So people, they go to these pseudo sannyasis and yogis for cheap blessings, but no benefit. One time Prabhupada was traveling in a train with his sannyasi disciples, first class compartment in India. And some Indian men were trying to get in the door, and Tamal wasn't letting them go in, but finally somehow they slipped in. And they said, Swamiji, we want your blessings. And so Prabhupada asked, what kind of blessings you want? So, oh, you know, I have some pain on my knee, and the other one was saying, and I gotta get my daughter married, and my son is not doing well in school. And Prabhupada pointed to the sannyasis and said, here are my blessings. Become like them. So they made a quick retreat out the door. So Swamiji, no, it's okay. Don't give us that blessing. And that blessing they didn't want. They want some magic. And they go to the guru instead of the doctor. Prabhupada said, they should just go to the doctor. Why go to the guru? And so this happens in India. When in one Kumbh Mela, now they're having Kumbh Mela, there was one sannyasi beggar, and he was begging, and he had this huge lock, matted locks on his head. And so he was begging, and somebody dropped the money on the ground. He went to pick it up, and his whole wig fell off. Because people think, oh, he must have some power if he has all this matted locks on his head. And so many cheaters are there. And Prabhupada, he was very heavy with these people. He was very heavy because he was a Shakti Vishavatar. He was an incarnation to preach, defeat the demons, Prabhupada said. So I'll give a couple of examples. One time Prabhupada was in a conference where all these yogis and religious Mayavadis were there, religious leaders. And they were speaking in Hindi and all this nonsense philosophy. And so one time Prabhupada just got to the point where he couldn't tolerate. And he looked at Birijan and he said, stop him. And Birijan had a pair of kartals. He said, does what? Prabhupada Babi strangle him? He was thinking. And Prabhupada said, start kirtan. So kirtan, they had kirtan, and they, in the middle of this guy's lecture, and they started the kirtan because Prabhupada couldn't tolerate the horrible Mayavadi philosophy. Another example was in San Francisco, and Prabhupada was meeting one professor who was very also into Mayavadi philosophy, and he was quoting so many things from the scriptures, how it's all one. And Prabhupada was waiting. He was chanting his japa. He was waiting to pounce on him. Are you finished? No. And they kept quoting and quoting. And finally he finished. And then Prabhupada started going after him, quoting from the Upanishads, from Vedanta. And the guy was standing up, and he started stooping a little. And Prabhupada kept after him. And then he was kind of on his knees on the floor. And then Prabhupada kept quoting and quoting, and finally the guy was just laying on the floor, and he said, Swamiji, can we have kirtan? Because he was complaining about the kirtan, the devotees. So this was Srila Prabhupada. He was not compromising. He was uncompromising. So here he's talking about the incarnation of Prithu Maharaj. Brahma is trying to remind him, you're an incarnation. You don't have to do these sacrifices. It's not part of your duty. You're supposed to protect the devotees and destroy the demons. And Indra is not a demon. You're not supposed to kill him. That's not a good idea. Time, place, and circumstance. Now it's time for goodness. Now it's time to invoke goodness. Establish the Lord's rule. We have to maintain the creation now. Now it's time for maintenance. It's not a time for destruction. And there's a verse in 2nd Canto, 7th chapter, that said in the beginning of creation, there are penates, Brahma, and the 9 Prajapatis, and the great sages, so everybody is creating. And during maintenance, there are the kings, there are the demigods. So there is a time. There's a time for maintenance, there's a time for creation, and at the end there is irreligion. And Lord Shiva, full of anger, and the atheists. So it's very important to know the time. It's not the time for Indra to die. It's not the time to get involved in this karma kanda. It's time for you to show who you really are. You were supposed to give an example of religion. So there's different modes of nature. So somehow Indra was getting Prithu into the lower modes here. And he didn't belong in those lower modes. He's supposed to be an incarnation. He's supposed to be protecting religion, not having more irreligion be spread. So there's different modes for the day. In the early morning is the time for japa, for spiritual life. In the middle of the day, mode of passion. We can do some work for service for Krishna. And the nighttime is for sleep, or mode of ignorance. So what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, Gita says. What is the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. I remember I was going to Mangalarti in Spain, in Madrid, and we had to go outside and walk to the temple. And as we were walking, there were some people who were just coming out of the bars. And they said, oh, good morning to you, you know. Yeah, good night to you. Because they were going to go to sleep, and we were just waking up and going to Mangalarti. So Prabhupada, he was liberated, but he showed us how to use the 24 hours of the day and night. He organized it. There was a best time when the air was cool and neighborhood was quiet when he went out for a morning walk in the morning. And there was a best time to greet the deities according to their time. And there's a best time for eating. Prabhupada was very regulated. He would have his breakfast 8:30, lunch at 1 or 1:30 every day. No matter if he was traveling in time zones, didn't matter. He would just keep the same schedule. And there was a time to preach, time to manage. He would manage in the morning. For just a few hours in the morning while he was having his massage, he would manage the movement. And the rest of the day was for preaching. And so he was according to time, place, and circumstance. So now somehow these Prithu and Indra have come into the mode of ignorance. But it's a time for goodness. It's a time for maintenance of the universe. The universe must go on. So we have to bring back goodness. So we also, now it's Kali Yuga, maybe the time of ignorance. But we can choose to be in goodness. And if we cultivate goodness, then we can make progress. So how to be in goodness? We have to surrender, of course, to Krishna every moment of the day. It's not simply a morning program. During the day also, we have to surrender. We have to think of Krishna. We have to serve Krishna. So why should we surrender? Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, he gives some negative reasons. That if we don't surrender, then our mind is going to get us. It's going to trap us with so many desires, and then we'll have to take so many more bodies to fulfill these desires. Another reason why to surrender is we're being crushed by time. Time is crushing us. Especially when you get over 60, over 70, then the body doesn't follow the mind anymore. The mind is very, can be very quick, but the body doesn't follow. And if you don't do something to prevent it, your body simply deteriorates. We're being crushed by time. Another reason to surrender is everything in this world is temporary. Temporary. Prabhupada saw a sign. They were doing some road work. Temporary inconvenience, permanent improvement. And Prabhupada said, permanent inconvenience, no improvement. This world. That's this world. And so that was Prabhupada. And so we need protection from Krishna. Here it talks about protection. You're supposed to protect the devotees. So if we take protection of Krishna, we can hope to be freed from anxiety over future maintenance. Prabhupada says in one purported 10th canto, devotees don't worry what they will eat, where they will stay, because everything is maintained and supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protection from fall down also. Chitraketu was protected. Indriduna Maharaj, he was protected. He remembered his prayers as an elephant. So we see these examples of protection from fall down. We were talking about that in the last class. How devotees, even if they leave, they're protected. Protection from Maya. How to be protected from Maya by chanting Hare Krishna. Protection from sinful desires also. So how to surrender is to be a servant of the servant. I'll read a little bit from this purport of 8th canto. This is about the time to invoke the mode of goodness. Again, Brahman is speaking to the demigods. The Kali Yuga is full of contamination, full of faults. But we have one great opportunity, and that is we can take shelter of the Sankirtan movement. So that's how to surrender. Take shelter of Harinam Sankirtan. This material world is dark, but there is light here, actually. Light is coming. Kali Yuga is darkness, but there is a sun. It's not that there is no light in this Kali Yuga. It's not all darkness. It's just people don't want to see the light. They don't want to see the light. So what is the light? The light, order of the spiritual master to chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada gives an example in one class that if you go in an airplane and you fly west, if you go in the morning in the airplane, fly west, and you keep flying, then you will never see the sunset. Just keep going. So if you stay in Krishna consciousness, you will never see Maya. So here, when Krishna came, he gave his orders, but people couldn't follow. So Lord Chaitanya came. Krishna came again as Lord Chaitanya. To help us. So now Prabhupada says in this purport in 8th canto, after the battle of Kurukshetra, Kali Yuga continues for 432,000 years, of which only 5,000 years have passed. So there is still a balance of 427,000 years to come. Of these 427,000 years, 10,000 years of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago provide opportunity for fallen souls of Kali Yuga to take to Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada has said in one lecture, Lord Chaitanya has come to shave you. I mean, he didn't say the S properly. So the devotees are all laughing. And then Prabhupada got it. He said, shave you and save you and shave you. Lord Chaitanya. So that was Prabhupada. So now it's time to invoke goodness. It's the 10,000 years of Lord Chaitanya. It's the time for us to have a golden age. Time for us to invoke the mode of goodness. We should not be overcome by the ignorance of Kali Yuga. And so if we follow the order of the spiritual masters, describe that as the light in this Kali Yuga. So here another thing in this purport. Chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is potent always, but it is especially potent in this age of Kali. So, therefore, Shukadev Goswami said, Kalir Doshani Heda Janas Diheko Mahaguran Kirtanari Vakrishna Seyam Bhutta Sangokaram Vajen. Although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is one good quality. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can become free from material bondage. So, therefore, Now is the time for goodness. Srila Prabhupada was talking to Allen Ginsberg in one conversation in 1969. And Allen Ginsberg, he was a poet. You probably don't know him, but he was famous back in the hippie days. He was the chief hippie and a poet. And he was talking to Srila Prabhupada. He was actually helping Prabhupada. He gave money for a lawyer to help Prabhupada get a visa, permanent visa. And he was helping. He was chanting Hare Krishna also and spreading kirtan. And he was one of the first. So he was talking about Prabhupada, about Kali Yuga. He said, you know, what's going to happen at the end of Kali Yuga? And Prabhupada leaned over to Allen Ginsberg and said, Allen, it's I eat you and you eat me. So that's the end of Kali Yuga. Don't stick around till the end. Make progress in this life and go back to Godhead. So we want to stay Krishna conscious. We want to invoke the mode of goodness. So in order to do that, we have to preach. We have to help others. There are examples. There is no excuse not to preach. There was one young girl, 17 years old, who's in a wheelchair. She has a very debilitating disease. And she's preaching through the internet. And even during the marathon, she was in Bombay and she saw everybody going out and she felt bad. And so she decided to go to her neighborhood. And she went to 3 houses and everybody took books from her. And one house was a Hindu, one house was Muslim, and one house was a Sikh. They all took books. And so she was happy about that. And so she's on one end. On the other end, there's this 198-year-old lady in Carpinteria, in a rich, affluent section of California. And she can't really go out to preach, but she she goes to the homeless people and gives them books and prasadam and preaches to the homeless that she meets on the way to the beach. And so she can preach. And also I heard of an example of, in Brisbane, just recently I heard an example of 2 cats preaching. How are these cats preaching? They belong to one devotee. And one cat's name is Jagannath. And one cat's name is Balaram. Black and white. One is black, one is white. So the cats go out in the neighborhood and they make friends with all the old people. And the old people are calling them names, calling them, come Jagannath, come Balaram. So one old lady, 85 years old, used to sing to them with their names. Jagannath, Balaram. Singing to these cats. The cats are very, very friendly with these people. They really make friendship. They really like these old people. And so then this old lady recently went to the old age home. And so the devotee gave her a picture of the cats with their names and say, okay, don't forget to call them while you're in the hospital and the old age home. So even cats can preach. So if cats can preach, so can we. No excuse. We're humans. We're humans. Yeah, so our duty is jiva doya. Jiva doya, we have to be merciful to the conditioned souls. Unfortunately, some people don't want to hear, like Prabhupada was preaching to Professor Kotovsky, and the professor said, Swamiji, after this life, everything is finished. So, and here's a great professor, got a PhD, but no knowledge of the soul. So, also, there is one, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was preaching to this Jagadish Chandra Bose. He was a freedom fighter in India who was fighting. And he met Bose, actually. Bose came and asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta for some of his brahmacharis to join his army. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, they are very skinny, they won't be any use for you. They are not healthy. They are so skinny, they're performing austerities. So then he talked to Bose. He said, he asked Bose, do you believe in reincarnation? Yes. He said, so if you're born in England, your next life your next birth, will you fight for the English? Because he was so much meditating on the English, it's possible he could get a birth there next life. And so, yeah, we have to be careful we don't get into the mode of ignorance during our day. So our duty is to preach, to follow the order, and try to help people who are struggling in this material world. Everybody is struggling, struggle for existence. Okay, so let us stop here. If there's any questions, you can ask at this time. Yes.
You mentioned about this movement is for the non-envious.
Right.
And, the envy is represented when one doesn't want to perform devotional service.
Hmm.
So, sometimes when you're doing the devotional service in a comfortable situation, it feels nice, but when devotional service really gets intense, and then you really want to, you want a little bit to go away from that, but you don't want to do that with some same enthusiasm. Is that also envy?
Is it envy when you're having difficulties in devotional service when it's too intense? Not necessarily. Envy generally means when somebody has something you want and you're envious of somebody else. So when it's too intense, that's called anarjanavritti. Anarjanavritti is the clearing stage of devotional service when you see all your bad qualities, your doubts come up. This is too intense. This is a doubt. It may be too intense. So then you need to take shelter of Krishna, pray. It's too intense. I cannot handle this alone. I cannot handle this. So intensity is allowed, feelings are allowed, devotees pray. When it's too intense, Krishna, they pray to Krishna, why I cannot see you, why are these things happening? You pray to Krishna, you take shelter. I think His Holiness Sachinanda Swami has a nice prayer that when difficulties, when problems come, he says, my dear Lord, I have no intelligence I'm not capable to solve this by myself or to continue like this. You please protect me and maintain me. So protect me means to protect my devotional service, to protect my level of devotional service so I don't go down. Maintain me means to keep me in a position where I don't struggle so much, where it's not so difficult for me. So we have to think that we can offer our personal prayers to Krishna at these times when it gets very intense. Because the mind will test you all the time. The mind will stay with you until you're liberated, or it will stay as your enemy. So you have to make your mind your friend. You make your mind your friend, then it gets easier, but that comes after Nishtha, when you get to Ruchi, then your mind your friend. But in the meantime, we have to somehow or other deal with the mind. And we need help, so you pray for help from the devotees, from Krishna. Any other question? Yes? Anirudha.
Maybe that you just got too much to do.
Pardon me?
Maybe
you just have too much to do and not enough hours in the day and not enough capacity.
Put some off till tomorrow.
Okay, so delegate, is that what you're saying?
Relax.
Oh, relax. When it gets intense, then relax. Okay. Put some things tomorrow and spend some time, more time in prayer and chanting. In fact, every day you should have some time where you really pray nicely and chant nicely and be introspective. When we get into these difficulties, we have to be very introspective. What is it that Krishna is trying to tell me? What is the lesson here? What do I have to learn? Yeah, actually Gita says that. what Aniruddha just said you should be regulated in your eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. So if you're not regulated, if you're over in one area or the other, too much sleeping or too much eating or too much working or too much recreation, then you need to balance it. Yeah, I think that, yeah.
I guess the example of a pond of water.
Uh-huh.
You get a stick and you stir it up,
mm-hmm.
then it loses its clarity and you've got all debris in it and it's hard to see.
Right.
It says if you let it settle, then it'll gradually become, everything will become clear and you'll be able to see what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
So he says the settling process for inverting Sachana Hare Krishna.
So we want to settle, we don't want to disturb the pond of water too much. Our settling process is to chant Hare Krishna.
And the
mind becomes our friend. Our mind becomes peaceful by chanting. Good. Yes.
So it might not be envious, if that was the point. That
yeah, I didn't think it's being envious.
It's not envious, it's not envy. Life.
Yeah, yeah. Envy, Prabhupada said, when you see somebody has something you want.
And you don't want them to have it.
You don't want them to have it. You should have it. Yeah. Yes?
When you get overwhelmed and everything becomes too much, it's kind of like a feeling you can't.
When you become overwhelmed and everything becomes too much.
Yeah, and it's like a fear.
It's a fear. So what?
I say, who takes away fear?
Who takes away fear? Lord Nishingadev. Yeah.
So you pray to Lord Nishingadev,
right.
And it's amazing. He helps so much.
So Lord Nishingadev, when you're in that condition, pray to Lord Nishingadev. And he will help you. Protect you from the fear of being overwhelmed. Like, you can't do it, you can't handle it. It's too much. He will relieve you. Yes?
Isn't there any talk of a seminar of one devotee from Croatia and he's having seminars of self-healing?
Self?
He's having seminars based on self-healing.
Self-healing.
And based on Vedas, you know, how they feel. And he elaborates everything about the samskaras, how to deal with issues, how to recognize them. And it's really, really good based on removing, how to remove the false ego. It's actually a genius book.
A book. It's called what?
I think it's called Self-Healing.
Self-Healing. From Croatia. Devotee from Croatia.
Yes, he's really, really good book. He elaborates.
Okay, based on the Vedas.
Yes, and he preaches like that and he brings a lot of devotees to.
Okay.
It's really based on
right. Okay, any other questions? Jaya Gauri Shri Prabhupada.